What would happen if at the upcoming budget hearings, what would happen if you had to balance the budget?
Oh, my gracious, Tony, it would be a challenge right now because when you're sitting at $15 trillion of debt, we've had three successive years of over $1 trillion deficit spent. So to ratchet it back to a balanced budget approach would be an amazing challenge, but I think a challenge that would send a positive shockwaves, not simply to the rest of our country, but to the world, that America is finally doing what it ought to do in living within its means, setting priorities, and ratcheting down cost, size, and control of government. We would have to do that. And so that's why I voted for the balanced budget amendment 2 weeks ago. Sadly, it didn't pass. We couldn't get the support from the Democrat side of the aisle. In fact, their leadership whipped their membership to encourage them to vote against it. That's a shame, because this same bill missed passage in both houses by one vote 15 years ago. And this is the first time we've had the opportunity to vote on it. As promised, it was voted on, and it failed. It's in the Senate now, or the Senate is taking it up before the end of this year by requirement, by law. They have to vote on it, up or down. And I'm hoping that the Senate will think it through more carefully and will send us a balanced budget amendment so that we'll have the opportunity to vote on it again and send it to the President.
What would happen, though? What would be cut? How devastating would the cuts be? Where would the majority of the cuts go?
Well, I think, you know, we've seen what we're doing here now with the budget, and it's across the board cutting through the sequestration. Those are going to be frustrating and ugly in certain areas, because you're not only cutting bad budget areas, you're cutting good budget areas. And that's frustrating for those of us that see a purpose in government, albeit limited, to do things like defend and protect our citizens, to make sure their homeland is safe, to make sure that there's infrastructure that is improved and cared for, those type of things, along with the basic social safety net that needs to be there. They'll suffer consequences of our overspending for too long as well. But the only way, Tony, we get back to freedom in this country and the opportunity to make decisions on our own as opposed to mandates and regulations is by setting priorities, just like we do in our homes or our businesses, to run this government the way it ought to run, and then leave more resources in the hands of individuals and local communities to do what they can and should do for themselves.
Tell me about H.R. 1633, Farm Dust Regulation Prevention Act of 2011. Why is that important?
Well, it's awful important to our farmers. In the ag community that's in Michigan and that's in my district, the number one ag district in the state of Michigan, to have the Environmental Protection Agency basically regulate farmers out of business by saying that you can't put dust in the air like you're accustomed to doing, simply because you're going up and down the fields in your tractors, plowing, disking, combining in your combines, mowing hay and all the dust that goes in the air, or traveling down the backcountry roads with all of your implements and of course, raising some dust. The ambient air quality standards that were being proposed would have limited not only dust in manufacturing with machinery, with mills, steel mills and the like, but it would have regulated farming operations also. That's insane. Farmers don't intend to just pollute the air with dust, but in order to grow the crops that we need to keep our economy going and feed our people, you're going to make some dust in the farm. So this one, I think, was an excellent bill that said to the EPA, we're going to push back on you. We expect you to go through Congress before you simply implement rules. They'll have a tremendous negative impact on jobs and the economy.
All right, final question for you. H.R. 10, which is a bill that you voted in favor of, you were a co-sponsor. It's the Regulations from the Executive Need and Security Act. The bill would require that both Congress and the President approve all new major rules created by federal agencies. A major rule is defined as a regulation which would have an economic cost of more than $100 million. Talk about this bill.
Yeah, we're finding more and more within this administration and the bureaucracy, the agencies, that because they can't get things through Congress, because frankly now there is a two-party system here, and we're pushing back on things like this dust standard and saying, wait a second, if we're talking about creating jobs and growing economy, and our agencies are implementing rules quietly behind the scenes, such as cap and trade, which they attempted to do, even though the Congress couldn't pass it, they tried to implement it by rule, we're pushing back and saying, no, you have to bring these rules through Congress. Any type of a rule that will have more than $100 million of impact, which is significant, which can inhibit the growth of jobs and economy, it must go through us. It's an oversight responsibility that we're taking back. We probably never should have given away to agencies, unelected bureaucrats, that through their decision-making process, for whatever reason they have, they're going to implement it and with no thought, no care, as it were, for the cost on the economy and on our country's citizens. So that is a good bill. I'm glad it passed the House. And again, that's one of those bills that still sits in the Senate, and we hope they'll take it up.
All right, Congressman, I know you're very busy. Thanks so much for giving us some time this morning. We'll talk with you soon.
Look forward to it, and have a Merry Christmas.